Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach God's word from Psalm 73. I read especially its text verse for the sermon, verse 2. Psalm 73, verse 2. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. The theme for this sermon is a true believer in doubt. We have 3 points. The first point, reasons of doubt. The second point, remedy in doubt. And the third point, faith conquering doubt. So the theme is a true believer in doubt. Reasons of doubt, remedy in doubt, and faith conquering doubt. Congregation, after we married, we moved to a different part of the Netherlands. So I didn't know that area. And the roads are kind of different from America. I mean, a lot of those roads are very old, and long time ago the farms were not as big, and there were some natural situations that caused the roads to take curves and to turn in different direction, and so it's very hard to find your way in this area. When you decide, let me go to another village, but not take the main road, but you just go through the fields, along the farms, then, you will have a hard time. In those days, there was no, I didn't have a GPS. I could be totally lost. I had no idea where I was. I mean, the road would turn, and you were not aware of that, and, here your car is saying you're driving north, or west, or south, or whatever. But that doesn't happen in the Netherlands. We don't have it. It's different, and I felt totally lost. Didn't know where to go. Maybe you had it sometimes here too. You didn't know where to go. What is the right way? No idea. I don't understand it anymore. Where am I? Where should I go? Isn't that what we feel that a psalmist, Asaph, is in such a situation, in this Psalm 73, I think many people feel that this psalm is speaking what you have experienced in several situations in your life, isn't it? It's revealing a struggle that we probably all recognize, questions that we cannot answer. What is the right way? I don't understand. I don't know where to go. You are confused. You feel lost. Asaph is experiencing that, and he is honest about it. I might think, well, let me not talk about it. Let me not tell people that I was lost, totally lost. They might laugh about me. They might mock me. But Asaph is just revealing it here, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He is writing it in the Word of God. So God is revealing this, that this is happened, that this is experienced by God's children, Asaph, a true believer. We are sure about that. So how good it is that he is honest about it. So when you experience this doubt, this question, it would become worse when you would think or imagine, oh, this cannot be when you have true faith. It might all be a lie in my life. It might all be not true. Satan will certainly try to attack you that way. And if there was not the word revealing that this is not a strange experience in the life of God's children, I mean, not someone that was not seen before, that this is experienced by others, that's a great comfort. That's a great help. So how thankful we should be that God has inspired Asaph to write this down in His Word. It helps us, and it also glorifies God, isn't it? When you see how God is guiding and dealing with people in such situations of doubt, how patient He is, but also how He has ways and remedies to heal us. Yes, that He is working faith through all these things to conquer these doubts. So who is Asaph? Probably don't know so much about him, but he did write pretty much in Scripture, compared even to other people inspired to write Scripture parts. He wrote more than some well-known authors like James or Peter, because he wrote, at least his name is attached to, and we can assume he wrote. Some say, well, it was someone who wrote it for Asaph. But I'm inclined to say now I believe that he has written those scripture parts that his name is attached to. That's Psalm 50 and also the Psalm 73 through 83. Asaph. So who was he? He was a young Levite in the days of David. And he was also the music leader before the ark. When David brought the ark to Jerusalem, he was leading the music in front of the ark. So a well-known music leader. And since he became old, like 100 years, he lived through the reign of David, but also of Solomon, and even he has seen the time of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And if you read his Psalms, you can clearly tell that, yeah, he was a dear child of God, a true believer, but struggling with doubt. So some people would say that doesn't happen to a true believer, but Scripture is revealing that it does happen. No, I'm not approving about doubt. I'm not saying doubt is fine. No, it's something to confess before the Lord, like Asaph does in this psalm, isn't it? He is humbling himself at a certain point in the psalm to confess his sin in those thoughts and feelings. But still it is reality, and he is not hiding it, but revealing and confessing it. So, yeah, maybe you are sitting here and struggling with doubt. And then I hope and pray that will happen to you what happened to Asaph, that it was like it was drawing him nearer to the Lord. It urged him to seek to get clarity and guidance of the Lord. And so when you will do that, then the Lord can even use and will use this thing that as such is wrong, to doubt the ways of the Lord, can use it, God can use it for good, to humble you, to humble me, and to strengthen faith, to cast us more upon the Word, or to cast us more upon Christ, that rock that will not move, that firm foundation for our hearts, for sinners. So what is the reason? Let's think about it. That's our first thought in this sermon. What are reasons of doubt? And this psalm makes it clear, a very important and sad reason is sin. For I was envious at the foolish. Envy in the heart of a child of God, When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, the sinfulness of our hearts is causing doubt in our lives, isn't it? So there's already a reason to humble ourselves when we struggle with doubt, to not to blame God, not to blame His word or His service or the church, but to blame ourselves, to see that we have a heart problem. There's another reason we can see in this psalm, and it is what our eyes see, what we see happening in this world. He saw the prosperity of the wicked. My feet were almost gone. What does it mean? My feet were almost gone. And, well, he's explaining it with the following words, the next part of the verse 2. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost fell. The way was so slippery. That is his struggle. And it was because of his sinful heart, but also what he saw. He saw that the wicked have prosperity, and there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They do well. They don't fear God, but they have a good life on earth. And even they might die in a way that they don't have much struggle, as it seems to be. There are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. They are not plagued like other men. And so they become so proud about it. They feel like God Himself. Pride is as a chain. They are violent. They hurt people. They hurt God's children. Someone said, well, so he lived in the days of David. He lived in the days of Solomon. And they were children of God, David and Solomon, isn't it? But Solomon, there was a very sad period of time in his life. Because he married many women, but also from Gentile nations, and they brought their idols. And Solomon was going with them to the temples and worshiping those idols as well. So if a king, so what a bad situation of backsliding. And we believe, yeah, the Lord restored him, although scripture is not so clearly speaking about it. But how would that time have been in the country? In the land of Israel. If the king is not living near to the Lord in a tender way, but is backsliding and hardening himself in such a situation, what will his servants in position of power do? Will they not do the same? In all the wealth there was, and would God's people not have suffered? So it might be that we can see it, this psalm, with that background of God's children even suffering in this situation during the reign of King Solomon. So you see it before you. Men in powerful positions, and Asaph and other dear children of God, they suffer. And those men are so proud and so powerful. And how can you understand that? Why does God allow this? It goes on and on. Why does this happen? Pride compares them about. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. time of oppression, persecution, they speak loftily in pride. Even against God, they set a mouth against the heavens, and the tongue walketh through the earth. Everywhere they do that. It's so hard for God's children to see that. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Did you ever feel like this? You didn't understand it. What you see, what you hear, their wicked language, their proud words against God, what you experience because of this, there's such a struggle within. It seems to be in vain that I serve the Lord. There's no reward in the service of the Lord. There's the opposite. I have a hard time every day. You start to reason about it with your mind. You try to solve it. They say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? In other words, there is not. We can just do this, what we want. We can oppress the weak. We can do violence to them. How can you explain this? These are the ungodly, and they prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Would it not be better to turn away from the service of the Lord? Did you ever feel like that, young people or children, that you feel like, well, why would I serve the Lord? Look, here is someone who's not a Christian, and he is doing so well in this world. He's enjoying himself, entertaining himself. He has all the wealth, all the pleasure in this world. Look, at Sunday, he is spending a day in his own way, just having a lot of fun. Now, I'm sitting in church. I don't get anything out of it. I don't feel like... I even have a hard time with all these things of the Lord. I struggle, and it seems they do not struggle. Why would I do this? Why would I keep my heart and my hands clean in living according to the Word of God? Did you never have those doubts that you saw people on a beautiful Sunday, and there they go, you're going to have a nice day, just do what you want. And you try to keep the Sabbath day, but you have so many questions. Or those situations that you suffer, that it seems that everything is against you, and then you start to reason. You start to try to solve it, and you don't find the answer. It was too hard. Well, how good it is if we are in such a situation that we open the Word of God. And then we come, of course, we come to the second point of this sermon. We come to the remedies against doubt. Here's Asaph standing on a slippery slope. He feels like, oh, I'm going to fall. There's no place that I can stand. I'm sliding and it's slippery here. How do you get out of it? Well, the first thing we see in the life of Asaph is that he is saying to himself, if I will speak thus, I should offend against the generation of thy children. So in other words, he says, you know, to say this, to say that it is useless to serve the Lord, that it would be better just to live your own life, to follow your own desires and to seek satisfaction in the pleasure of sin and this world. If I would say that, I would hurt God's children. I would offend against the generation of thy children. Yeah. So what does it show that he is saying this to himself? It shows, of course, a love, a concern for God's children. There is the love of the Lord in his heart, and he doesn't want God's children to be offended, to stumble because of what he is saying. So that's important. That makes a difference, a most important difference. The love of the Lord in our hearts. That although you don't understand it and things feel to be so confusing and it's dark like the darkest night, you cannot find your way, you feel totally lost, you have not the answers, that you still have this, that love for the Lord, for his church, his children. That's the first thing, that's like a remedy. No, I cannot speak this way. He knew the Lord. He had a connection with the children of God. But still, yeah, here he is. He couldn't solve it. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. It was not to be solved with my mind. It was too hard, too difficult. And that's also good. To be honest about it, realistic, I cannot solve this. Here I am in the darkness with all my questions, with all the struggle, with all the pain, with those people with their wickedness before my eyes. And what I see is telling me there is no God, there's no reward in the service of the Lord. But at the same time, I have that desire to serve the Lord, and I cannot solve this. So that means he is very humble. True humility is such a remedy in this great struggle, in this situation of doubt and confusion. Be humble. Acknowledge that you are too little to answer all these questions, to solve this conflict that you experience, that your mind is too little. You're just a human being. You live some years on earth, and God is the eternal God who has created everything. And so it should not be a surprise that you cannot solve or understand his ruling of this world and of your life. And then another thing that we see in this psalm, which is so important, is he went into the sanctuary. In other words, he went to church. Don't stay away from church. When you are in the darkness of the night of doubt and confusion, it can easily happen that Satan will tempt you and say, why would you go to church? There's no use in that. You become bitter, frustrated, and angry, and you want to stay home. But you have to be in church to get guidance and answers or light in this darkness of the night. And that happens to Asaph. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. And what happened there? Then understood I their end. When God was revealing his great plan and his word to Asaph, then he understood, well, this life is not everything. This life comes to an end, and then there will be such an unspeakable difference between those that have lived a wicked life in pride, and they might have enjoyed themselves in this world, and on the other side, those that have lived a life in the fear of the Lord, depending on God, and they might have suffered in this world, But then there will be that eternal difference between the two. So if you only look to this life, yes, there's no way that you can get out of this snare or trap of doubt. But if you listen to the word that God is saying, there's much more than this life. We are created with a soul that will exist forever. After this life, there will be eternity. And so remember what the destination is of those that live a wicked life in this world. Then understood I their end. And that changed. That was such an important insight for Asaph. That changed his perception of the situation that he is seeing in this world. All of a sudden he saw that things are just the opposite than he thought it was. He felt like, I'm on a slippery spot, I'm gonna fall. And that was not true. That was not true. And then he says, no, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Not Asaph, but they are in slippery places. That's reality. Yes, they do well. They are proud. They do violence. They are wicked. They persecute God's children. Oh, what a bad spot to be there. What a slippery place it is. And that's worse. You know, that God, in his sovereignty, lets them go in their own ways. That makes them be in a slippery place. Thou didst set them in slippery places. And how much better is it that God has brought this daily suffering in my life? For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning, so that my feet would be on the rock, that I would depend on the Lord. It felt like I was falling, and they were so strong and in such a good, wealthy position, although they lived in a wicked way. But it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite, because he says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. It's like a father with his little child crossing a river, a wild river, and they walk from rock to rock, and it's kind of slippery. But you know, the father knows what he does, and he's keeping the hand of his child. And the child is scared, but his father is holding his hand. So nothing happens to him. I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. So you see, it's different. It's just the opposite. No, not Asaph is in trouble. They are in trouble. The only thing is, he didn't see it. And it caused so much doubt. But then when he went into the sanctuary, God gave him light and insight. And that happens, isn't it, in the house of the Lord. Through preaching from his word, you're going to see a reality. If you look to circumstances, yeah, then you will be confused. But faith should not look to circumstances, but look to the word and to the Lord. These people that persecute and do violence and live in wickedness, they end up in terror. Yeah. As a dream when one awakens. Here they have everything. But it's just like when you had a dream during the night and you awake in the morning. It's like the dream all of a sudden is separated from you. And that happens to them. Life seemed to be a sweet dream to them. But as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. They have to deal with a righteous and holy God in the day of judgment. And they have no way to stand before God because they have spoken in pride against God, despised God, and then they will be despised by God. So, what a wonderful remedy in doubt to go to church, to hear the word, to get light and guidance, to see a reality, not in circumstances. Circumstances are deceiving us and do not show reality. They kind of hide reality. It seems those people are doing well, but just they are in a slippery spot. But the word is a truth. And that's why it is so good. That's why it is such a privilege that you can go to church. And oh, I understand that you sometimes feel like I'd rather spend the Lord's day in my own way. But you know, I also have that deep experience that I need this word, that I need scripture in this life that in many situations feels like a dark night, that here is a strong and a firm stronghold, you could say, in the word of God. Yeah, that my heart is secure when I rest on the word of God. That I'm not in a slippery place. It's much more important than you to spend a day just to entertain yourself. It leaves your heart empty. It will not provide that security that you can find in the knowledge of the Lord. So the next thing Asaph is doing is confessing his sin in this doubt. Verse 21 and 22, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So reins is, you know, used in scripture to express your most inward life or feelings. I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. So confessing your sin. Be humble. Come to the house of the Lord. And confess your sin in your doubts. I was like a beast. How did I dare to do that? To think in such a way about God, the holy God, the righteous God. And then, you know, let's think about Christ. When you feel like Asaph, when you feel like that a cup is wrung out of you, cup of water, let's think about Christ. Let's see him in his great struggle in the Garden of Gethsemane, how blood was wrung out of him, and that because of the burden of sin laid on him, my sin laid on him. And so what is this cup of water wrung out of me in my distress and trouble compared to the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would I doubt if the Lord, in his wisdom, in his kindness, is bringing these things in my life? Why would I blame God or doubt him when I see Christ in the dust, in the garden, because of what I sinned against God? No, there's nothing I have to complain. The only thing I should say, oh God, how good thou art. Yeah. And that's what Asaph knew. That's how he starts this psalm. Truly God is good to Israel. Makes it very clear that we have to, that we are dealing with a child of God. And there's every reason for us to say that, Lord, thou art so good. If thou would give me what I deserve, Lord, that would be eternal death. And here I am. Yes, my situation is hard. I cannot explain it. I cannot understand it. But it's nothing compared to what Christ was suffering. And I know that thou art with me. So, yeah, then he says, I'm like a beast, Lord, that I have such feelings. It doesn't mean that you should not confess it. Some people would be inclined to deny they have those feelings. And that doesn't solve anything. Just confess it before the Lord. But then also that you, in your trouble, may look to Christ and see that in Him there is a way through which you may experience, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. That is true for Christ's sake, for a child of God. In the darkest night, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. That will not change. That is founded in God's faithfulness, shown in the Lord Jesus and in His work. And it's undeserved. You know, there's no reason why God would do that to me, in me. But there's a reason in Christ. And, you know, faith will see it. And that's our next point. But let's first sing. Let's first sing Psalter 202, stanza 1 through 3. 202, stanza 1, in doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. 202, all stanzas. Congregation, the third point is faith conquering doubt. There's a very important word in this psalm, and that's the first word of verse 23, nevertheless. What does it say, this word? Nevertheless. So it shows that Asaph is not denying reality. He has just spoken about all the doubts and the hardships that he has experienced, and even about his sin and foolishness. Then nevertheless. And that's connecting the previous part to the following part. And the secret of this word is faith. A trusting in the Lord with your whole heart. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. How can you say that, Asaph? You just spoke about being a beast before God. How can a beast be with God? Yeah, that's impossible for our understanding, isn't it? But faith knows that it is possible. That God is accepting people that have to confess that they are before the Lord like a beast in their pride and their foolishness. Nevertheless, the secret is in Christ. The secret is in His work. The secret is in faith in His work. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. No, that's not because Asaph is so good. No, he's like a beast. He doesn't deserve it at all. But then to know, what a miracle. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by my right hand. Asaph, how can I understand that? I mean, you spoke about that your feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Yeah, well nigh, almost. Not totally, because God has kept him. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. And you know, through this whole experience, faith is conquering doubt. Or you could even say, faith is strengthened. And maybe you have experienced the same thing in your life. When your wife was so sick, you had such a hard time for a long time. When you lost your job or your business. When you had such a trouble in your family. When your health was broken while you were still young. You came in this darkness. And it was difficult in your marriage. And oh, you didn't know where to go. You felt lost. You didn't see the way. And it seemed that God didn't care about you. That's what circumstances seem to say. And you tried to solve it with your mind, but you couldn't. Till you came in the sanctuary. Did you ever experience that? Till God gave you insight. Some insight in how He is dealing with these situations, and that there is a day of judgment on which day nobody will be able to say that God is not just, and the books will be opened and our own conscience will even convince us. Yeah. So what happened to you in this situation when you were in the darkness and confusion? Did it bring you nearer to the Lord? Like it happened to Asaph? I've put my trust in the Lord. It is good for me to draw near to God. What happens to this boy that we saw crossing the river with his father? And he felt like he was slipping. But his father was holding his hand. What did the boy do? He was holding that hand even more tight. You can see him with both hands holding the hand and the arm of his father. Did that happen to you? So do you see that God can use doubt, which we can never prove, for good, to make us cling closer to the Lord, to strengthen faith, to make us hang totally on the Lord, like this boy did crossing this wild river. And what would you say when you came at the other side? What would this boy say? Oh, that is so good that you are holding my hand. I'm so thankful about it. I'm so glad. It's such a joyful thing to be so secure by your hand. It was so good that you were with me, Dad. Otherwise, I would have been lost. Yeah, my flesh and my heart faileth. I am so weak. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Yeah, and then he is seeing it clearly. He's seeing the difference. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a warring from thee. What does it mean? Those that go a warring from thee. They live like a war. So you could say in adultery or fornication, in a spiritual way, not depending on the Lord, not humbling before the Lord, but putting their trust in themselves, in their power, in their money, in their violence, and speaking even against God. It's adultery. It is spiritual adultery. But that ends up in destruction. But it is good for me to draw near to God. So you hear two ways. There are only two ways. In this psalm you hear two ways. And this psalm is bringing us to the question, what is the way that I'm walking? In which way am I walking? In the way of the Lord? Or in my own way, the way of sin? And you know, it is never that we can say, well, we stand still, we are not moving. Even if you know grace, we always move, and it's one of the two. You move nearer to the Lord or further away from the Lord. And so that's such a danger that you get in a situation of backsliding. Maybe get bitter about things that happen in your life. Or that you live a life like Solomon. Is Asaph talking about him? Going a warring from thee? Oh, I know the Lord can even save such people, and he does. Like a piece of wood taken from the fire at the last moment, or in such an amazing way. But still the question is there. What is your walk in this life? Can you say, it is good for me to draw near to God? Is that revealing the most deep and inmost feelings of your heart? It is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord. You need it. And if that is not true in your life, well, then you will perish. That's a serious truth of this psalm. Then you will perish. If you will not draw near to the Lord, and you feel maybe tonight, how can I do that? You feel that's impossible for me. Well, then tonight I proclaim you that God is drawing sinners to himself by the power of his word. Did Christ not say, when I will be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me? So why would you not surrender to this Savior? and be saved. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come before Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art so faithful. We pray, Lord, that Thou would keep us. We cannot keep ourselves. Lord, we need this drawing power of the Word and this drawing power of Christ. Not only once, but daily. Otherwise, we will slide in backsliding, Lord. But it is good for me to draw near to the Lord. I put my trust in God. Lord, and Thou would give us the fruit of this word in our lives, that we will take it in our hearts and meditate on it. And Lord, that this one word will be true in our lives, nevertheless. Although everything is black and dark, when I see my life, when I see my heart, when I see the sins and depravity in my life, nevertheless, Lord, that we may see there is a way. It's the way of a miracle in Christ. Nevertheless, there is a way to be near to the Lord, that the Lord will hold my right hand and lead me to glory. Lord, that's something we cannot explain. We cannot fully understand. We cannot conclude from circumstances or things we have in our lives, but that's the language of faith, which is founded in the Word, which is resting in the promises of God, resting in the sacrifice of Christ, resting in His cross and His blood. Lord, Thou would give that to everyone here. We pray for those that couldn't gather with us, Lord, that Thou would bless them as well, those that listened at home somewhere, wherever they are. Lord, that Thou would bless the broadcasting of Thy Word and the preaching of Thy Word, so that many will come to the knowledge of Christ. O Lord, forgive us all our unbelief. It's so offending to Thee. Thou art a faithful, trustworthy Lord and true God, never lying, not deceiving in Thy Word and in Thy dealing with us. But Lord, we have to be humble and acknowledge that we don't understand. We are so little. But give us that childlike fear that we do not bother, that we do not understand, because we trust Thee as our Heavenly Father. We pray for that, Lord, for that work of the Spirit in our hearts. We thank Thee for everything Thou hast given this day. Keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads, and help us in this new week, Lord. We pray that Thou would bless also the family camp, and we hope to spend some days together as a church family and have some topics that we will hear and, Lord, discuss, that Thou would bless us for our souls, Lord, for Thy glory, for Thy name's sake. Keep from all dangers in those days also, especially in traveling there, in being there, in activities that will happen, Lord, that Thou would keep us, and also keep us from sin. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.